Paul, our guest in the studio this quarter hour, has a watch on each arm.
I've noticed that. I love watches. Maybe we can make a deal here.
Abingdon Mullen is the CEO of the Abingdon Company, appropriately named, which is a watch manufacturer. Now, as a pilot, this is a sort of a big day in Air Venture Oshkosh terms because today's Women Venture Day. Were you down for the picture on Boeing Plaza today?
Of course.
How big was the crowd?
Oh, gosh. Well, they put me to work down there because I'm also on the board of directors for Women in Aviation. So I was kind of rallying all the folks in the back up, and I couldn't run around fast enough. It was a big group.
That's great. That's great. It's always a real eye-popping collection of people, and usually there's a nice backdrop.
Yep.
Like a multi-million dollar jet or something behind you.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you know. So tell us a little bit about what the company does, but it particularly what you do other than the products that you make and sell.
Sure. So the Abingdon Company is a watch company I started when I was learning how to fly. I wanted a flight watch for women. They didn't make anything at the time in 2006. So I launched the company in 2007. And I've been an incredibly active pilot. This is the 10-year anniversary of the company, so that is my full-time job. But for flying, because I have to fly, I ferry fly. So I deliver airplanes primarily to Australia and Asia, and I have about 80 different airplanes in my logbook, over 3,000 hours, type rated up to an Airbus, and I love it. And stick me in a plane for 18 hours with a bunch of aux tanks and HF radios and let me go.
So you've broken the code here on how to maximize the number of different types in your logbook. The code is ferry, is that it?
That'll get you into a lot of different airplanes for sure.
Wow.
Tell us about your scholarship program. It sounds like this is something that is of value to so many women, and can you give us a sketch on what that's like?
Definitely. I'm so excited with it being the 10-year anniversary of the company this year. One of the things that we've expanded is our scholarship, and the scholarship I've been offering since 2011, and it's called the It's About Time Scholarship, and what it does is it is open to anybody in the world, 18 years or over, to a woman who just needs to showcase her talent. So I gave you guys a sticker, the Ladies It's Time to Fly, that was made several years ago by our scholarship winner in the Dominican Republic, and they're also free at our booth over at Hangar B. But every year what we do is we fly somebody out to the Women in Aviation Conference held in March, and we cover full airfare, we cover all hotel, all food, registration, and give them a membership to the organization, and we introduce them to people. So we let them explore what their opportunities are in this industry. So this year, for the 10-year anniversary, we extended it to the helicopter industry and the scuba dive industry. So we'll be flying somebody out from anywhere in the world, whoever wins, to HAI next year in Las Vegas, and then also to the DEMA show, the Diving Manufacturers Association show, also held in Las Vegas next year.
And how did the women become knowledgeable of this scholarship, and how do you promote that?
We promote it pretty heavily online and through industry news. So once we had the press release that we were going to extend it, we announced that at HAI this year. In Texas, and then we just announced what the scholarship deadline dates are. So we formulated how far ahead of time that we need to establish who the winner is, potentially get them visas to come into the country, and get all of the logistics sorted with having a winner either internationally or nationally attend the show.
Is all of their training then conducted in the U.S., or so are they here for as long as that training takes?
Well, there's no training associated with our scholarship, so it's really a networking opportunity. What they'll do, for example, our winner this year was from Ghana. Her name is Audrey Swatson, and she's already learning how to fly in South Africa. So she didn't necessarily need assistance on training. She just didn't know what there was after she got her commercial rating. So what we did is we linked arms with her and introduced her to all the different companies that are hiring for the airlines, that are hiring for cargo or for corporate. If that's what she wants to do as a pilot, there's even a lot of companies that fly in Africa, or how you would do it if you wanted to fly to the States. We've had women who were considering going into engineering who just didn't know. So we would take them over to Pratt & Whitney, or we'd take them over to Airbus and make the introduction so that they could keep the conversation going after they go back home.
And of course, Women in Aviation is an outstanding forum for that. out.
Excellent. And the same thing with HAI. I mean, they really hold the button down on the helicopter industry. So I want to be able to provide those opportunities for more women.
It sounds like you're busy all the time, but what are you busy with this week?
This week, I'm managing probably the best crew I've ever had over at Hangar B. I'm camping in Camp Scholler, and we have watches here for sale in a hangar in, what is our booth number, 2097. Mm-hmm. We're also showcasing our 10-year anniversary watch for the first time. So if you come over, you can't take photographs of it, but you can take a look at it. So there's been a lot of buzz about that. So, yeah, I'm also enjoying airplanes. My favorite airplane I've been watching for 2 years is finally, I saw it in real life yesterday.
Tell us.
November 9 or 8, Tango Papa. It's a blue and white albatross. It is gorgeous. And it's down over towards the South 40. And I probably walked around like a giddy little kid and talked to the son of the owner yesterday for at least an hour.
Well, aviation keeps us young, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So you talked about the anniversary or the 10th anniversary design. How close to you personally do you keep the design process?
Well, I'm really just the conduit. The people who design these watches are actually customers. So when we came out with a three-time zone watch, for example, a lot of our customers are flight attendants. And they said, you know, we'd love to have a watch that had three time zones because all we can find are watches with two. And so if you can make something with three time zones, we would wear that every day. And so what we did is we said, hey, that's a great idea. We kept hearing it enough times, and we made one about 5 years ago. So that's really who our designers are. All I do is I take their ideas. I go talk to my suppliers, and I say, we need to make this beautiful, we need to make this sturdy, and we need to make it quickly.
Talking with Abingdon Mullen, who's the CEO of the Abingdon Company and a pretty busy aviator as well.
I would say.
Before we started talking here, you mentioned promoting STEM and STEAM agendas for secondary education. Talk about that.
Absolutely. I mean, STEAM, we can't have STEM without art. And so I definitely am a huge proponent of STEAM. I was 14 when I was introduced to aviation, and I really think that it's very important that we get not only our youth, but we get minorities, we get more young girls, we get people that are outside of the States. There is a huge need for this industry to reach out to people that don't look like us. And if we want this industry to thrive and not be overrun by ideas in D.C. about privatization and what could impede on general aviation, we need to get a lot more voices at the table. So through my scholarship and then also just through my efforts with being on the board, and also I sit, I advise, work with Ethan Martin on the Aviation Foundation, Community Foundation, and we just did a big event with JetBlue in New York about maybe 2 months ago with just showing, you know, other kids what they could do. So in STEAM fields, and if we want to give back to this community, it's not about just going to a pancake fly-in and flying our 180 and having a great old time on the weekends. We need to actually bring other people in with us. And that's one of my passions, is to promote STEAM.
Well, and as somebody, I'm in the flight training industry, and I will tell you that we do have a shortage, and we are looking for more people to feed the pipeline, mm-hmm. and there's no better place to start than when you're young.
Yep. So. Definitely.
So you talked about people who don't look like us, and so that's a pretty wide definition. Mm-hmm. Tell me about, I mean, you talked about your scholarship winner from Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certainly some geographic diversity in a scenario like that. Talk about some bright spots where you've seen people who really don't look like us.
At the show or just in general?
Just in general, yeah.
Well, that conference, the Women in Aviation Conference, it's a very diverse group. If you've ever been, I highly encourage you to go, because it's one of the neatest events I've been to.
Yeah, I know a bunch of men who attend regularly.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I would say probably my ferrying is where I've seen it the most. Because when I land in a country or on an island out in the Pacific, like Tarawa or Ponape, some of these, you know, big places where these huge battles went down in World War II, I'm often seen as, you know, somebody who they didn't expect. But then at the same time, I'm talking with people that I wouldn't have normally expected to necessarily be a pilot. So it really broadens my horizons as well. I flew into China for the first time a couple years ago and went to the A-Base show that was out there. And that was an excellent opportunity to see just a lot of different pilots from all over the world. And it does exist. We can definitely, there are people in India that are just as passionate as we are. And there are people in South America that are just, you know, beyond. I mean, you could see here where people are flying in from. I think, doesn't EAA give an award for the one who flies in from the furthest? Yeah. So it's worldwide. So, and since America is such a big melting pot, then why not? Why not invite
why shouldn't we look like, as a community, like the rest of the world?
Like the rest of the world, totally.
Right.
Well, you've certainly done a lot to support aviation and, you know, the efforts that you're making to keep the pilot supply going and to encourage education. It's remarkable, plus your own flying. It sounds like you just keep yourself very busy. So thanks for everything that you do for us.
Thank you.
Abingdon Mullen is the CEO of the Abingdon Company. Exhibiting where on field this week?
Hangar B, booth 2097.
Okay. So take a look at watches. Not all of them can you photograph.
Nope. It's the only one that you can't.
And so, again, thanks for coming by today.
Thank you for having me.
In our final quarter hour, we're going to be talking with Susan Parson of the FAA about airman certification standards launched this year, continuing and evolving. This is EAA Radio.